I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and have I got a treat for you. That's right, they're back. The boys in the neighborhood are here. They've been gone for a while, but I managed to lasso them all and bring them all back, even Florida Jim the Contrarian. We dragged him out of the Sunshine State and got him back to the beautiful state of New Jersey. So without any further ado, as we tackle what's going on in the world today, I'm going to introduce rock and roll race car Jack Patterson. How are you, Jack?
Hey, Joe. It's great to be back.
But you know, it's not the same without seeing you sit around the table here with us. Bill, the man of faith, Dallas. Here he is, straight from church. Bill, how's everything?
Straight from church. Yeah, I've been straight from church. I've been in church. That's it. That's all I can say. I've been in church.
He's got an inside hook with St. Peter, I think. And, of course, Jim the Contrarian Giordano. Jim, how are you? Welcome back.
It's good to be back with the fellows in the neighborhood.
It really is, and I really have missed you guys. You know, I'm sitting out here doing the show every week, and I'm thinking about, boy, I know Jim would say this, and oh, Jack would jump up at that, and then, oh, how could I ask Bill this? But you know what? You ain't been here. But that's over. We're back now. The Chasing Justice audience is out there, been clamoring to hear from the guys in the neighborhood. So here we are. So, gentlemen, as we move forward, there's lots going on. I mean, we could say that, I guess, for the last couple of years, it is never ending. The news cycle just really never stops. And I was looking through the papers, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the impeachment update. We're going to talk about some attacks on police officers and what that really means to our society. But I noticed that the New York Times has come out with their endorsement from their editorial board for president. Now, this is something that happens at every election cycle. Newspapers come forward and their editorial board, they usually interview people, all the candidates for whatever it is, down to dog catcher all the way up to president of the United States. And then the board takes all those answers and decides who would we think would be the best at this particular job, and they endorse them. So the first thing I'm going to say is I don't know how much endorsements really help. Hillary Clinton, out of 250 papers when she ran, she was endorsed by 249 of them, and she still lost the election. So I don't know how much they actually help, but I don't think it hurts. It's nice to get that endorsement. But the New York Times, considered one of the big newspapers, I think it's failing because of all the fake news, but that's just my opinion. They have endorsed two people. For the first time, they have found two such stellar candidates that are so outstanding, that have programs that are so amazing to transform our country into a place of unity, prosperity, strength, and greatness for everybody. But they can't pick between the two of them because they are so awesome. And they have chosen to pick Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren. So I think they had a big powwow and they decided that they would come up with these two women and they put that out there. Did you get that joke I threw in there for Elizabeth Warren? Thank you.
I was just gonna say that.
Okay. And as it turns out, we found out recently that me and my family do have Native American roots. So I can say that. All right. So anyway, they picked two women that they say either one of these women would be 1,000 times better than President Trump. So first of all, Jack, do you think editorials have anything to do with how the average person looks at a candidate?
Fortunately and unfortunately, editorials can be powerful in both directions. A lot of people will read something like that and, of course, completely dismiss it, as well as other people will completely believe it. It can sway people. It really can, depending on the trustworthiness or the perceived trustworthiness of the person who wrote it.
I think you're absolutely right. And so when you write a column, if people like you and they will listen to your column and they'll think it's really good. Billy, you've been around for a lot of these different elections. What do you think about these endorsements? Do they actually help?
Well, think about what you had said earlier in your opening. The New York Times is one of those newspapers that have had so much embarrassing articles in the way of fake news and whatnot, and they are failing. So who's going to listen to them? The average Joe doesn't even read the New York Times anyway. They read the local papers. Right. So, no, I vote no.
Okay, there's a no on that. I tell you, I've never really heard anybody make an endorsement that I said, you know, if that person thinks they're great, then I would probably think that too. I don't know who that comes across to. Jim, who do you think is influenced by an endorsement like that?
I can imagine. I'm sure that there's a lot of people who don't have their fingers on the pulse of what's really going on behind the scenes. But to me, an endorsement from the New York Times is a lack of endorsement because there's no credibility to that newspaper whatsoever, in my view.
Let's go to personal endorsements very, very quickly. As I've stated before, a very, very good friend of mine did three tours, two in Iraq and one in Afghanistan, and he was injured badly. This was quite a while ago, and since Trump has revamped a lot of the VA, he's gotten better care, faster care. That's an endorsement that I can live with and I can live by.
So you're saying that the president's done the right thing?
He's done the right thing in many cases, bringing mm-hmm. veterans' bodies home from a war long, long ago, mm-hmm. increasing the availability mm-hmm. and the quality of the health care available to our veterans when they get home.
Right. Now, it's very interesting. And I look at this and I say, okay, let's take a minute to reassess the situation. Everything that, you know, this New York Times is saying that Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren are much better choices than another Trump term. That's what they're coming out and saying, that the direction that these two want to take us would be better. Now, we've listened. If you listen to what they want to say, they want universal health care for everybody. Your private insurance, gone. You'll take the government insurance and you'll pay whatever they tell you. Kind of like Obama, too, but I think it would be much worse. They want to, you know, de-emphasize the strength of the military. We don't need to have the strength of that military. We're spending too much money on that military, and we don't need to be, you know, such a tough guy around the world killing terrorists and like. We don't have to do that. The other thing that they're looking at is, you know, paying for everybody's college. They said 95% of all college debt that people take through the government, myself included, would be wiped out. Now, that's not free college. That's government debt that we all have to pay in your taxes.
No, the way that the Democrats will structure that is that the immigrants will get those free rides in college first, even before our vets. Guaranteed.
Or right. our children.
Or our children.
The American
yeah.
children. I mean, it's the whole thing. When you make government big, all it is a mask for corruption. And that's exactly what's going on here. $49 trillion in the Green New Deal. Who's going to pay for that? That will kill the economy. Actually, will destroy the country. But that's just one of the items that they're suggesting. Universal health care. You know, it sounds great on paper. It does not work. Look what we have now. We have government-influenced health care that basically ruined it. Many years ago, I never had to pay anything. I never had to pay a copay. And then all of a sudden, we get Obamacare. Everything has gone up dramatically.
That's the Affordable Health Care Act.
Oh, that's right.
I can't afford anymore.
Yeah, I can't afford MRIs anymore.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, again, because you see, the press never does their job. And this has been a constant, recurring theme. How come we're not getting stories going, hey, let's go look it back and said, what did Obama say when he promised us Obamacare? I think I remember. The average family was going to get better health care, more abundant health care, more tactical health care for cancer and everything that's wrong with you. And you're going to save $2,500 a year, average family. Would that save you a lot of money, Jim, if you save $2,500 a year in your income tax on your health care?
Absolutely.
Let's implant something in the public mind. Imagine this, if you will. Government-controlled health care, government-provided health care is a nicer way to say it. Imagine now there's a huge, huge office building in every county, in every state across America, and it's going to be manned by thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, and these are all your tax dollars. Imagine a health care system that works like the DMV.
Works like the VA did.
Or like the VA did, right? Until they're trying to fix it. And all of this, I think, again, you know, as an investigator, I look at everything and I say, okay, well, this is what I see on the surface. Let's take this, you know, and peel it open and go, what is the purpose? Jim, you said it before. It sounds like a great idea, universal health care. Everybody will get everything they need. They won't have to wait. They won't have to worry that they don't have money when they have cancer. They don't have to worry. Because it can bankrupt people, what comes in here. But the reality is, We see it in other places where they have this universal health care. You don't just get to run in there because your 59-year-old knee needs to be replaced and go, hey, I'd like a replacement. I have 3 weeks off. Let's do it. No, no, you get put on a list. Now they'll make some determinations. How old are you? What's your value to society that we should give you the new knee? You know, we'll give it to you, but we're going to give it to you 2 years from now. Well, that doesn't help you in the next. And then when you get to 2 years, oh, now you're 71. Maybe you're not, or you're 61. Maybe you're not appropriate for this thing. But does anybody think that a guy like Joe Biden, who's, what's he, 70-something years old, if he needed a new knee, would he get online? Would he be waiting 2 years, or do you think, right in the hospital and get taken care of?
The Congress is not on Obamacare. Remember that. Everyone needs to remember that.
Right. They exempted themselves from it. Now, why would you do that? So what I'm saying is, what's behind this whole idea of give everybody everything? I think it came out in the Obamacare debates, as little as they were, is that it's control of 1/6 of the United States economy. You control the purse strings of the economy, you control people.
How did you debate through a closed door, Joe?
Exactly right. Everything was behind closed doors.
Don't forget the conspiracy end of this, which I believe there's more truth to than not. It will come down to if you did the right things according to the popular judgment. If you play the Hollywood game, you'll get that knee. But you know, Mr. Giordano, you voted conservative on the last line you voted. You're going to wait. As a matter of fact, you're not going to get anything.
Right.
That's where it's going.
Now, of course, and I don't think it would be that overt, they would certainly just figure out, you know who that guy is? He's on this great radio show called Chasing Justice. You know, and they believe in America, the Constitution, God, family, and they like babies. Well, he ain't getting nothing. All right? Now, that was what would go on behind the scenes. And, of course, it's not as probably as nefarious as that, but it is as nefarious as that. They will limit your health care. So how can the New York Times, supposedly some of the greatest thinkers in our country, why? Because they're rich and they own a big newspaper and they get to say what they, I don't know why you would consider them to be great thinkers. But they come out and say these two women and their socialist left-wing policies are better than what's going on right now. Now, right now, this is where we need to reassess and all the things they said about Trump. He was going to round up and re-educate our gay communities. He was going to come after them. The minute he was elected, because he's homophobic, he was going to tear them apart. He was going to go after the minorities because he's a racist and he hates them. He's a white supremacist. He's going to make sure the white supremacists lead the way. Now, have we seen that? Let's take a look. Does anybody know where those internment camps are? Because you know what? Here in Chasing Justice, we're going to go break them out. We're going to break all them groups out because that's not right. It's not right to do that to anybody, but has he done it, Jack?
The lesbian and gay community has flourished since he's been elected. There's been more integration of those lifestyles on television, more and more and more. There's been less protests because they haven't been needed. It hasn't been necessary. People are allowed to choose their own way and be their own person under his leadership.
Right, and that's what we say here all the time. Justice, who doesn't matter who you love. Right? You can't force me to do things I don't want to do. I'm not forcing you. You love who you love.
We're here for a short period of time. My whole premise is, let's just be happy.
Right. So, Billy.
Can't we all get along?
Billy, where are these internment camps? Where are these people being held?
They're at the border. They're at the border. Just look at what some of the Democrats have actually gone down there and saw what it was like, came back and reported. In the negative, like they're like concentration camps. They're being mistreated and blah blah blah. And then someone in a better light goes down there, actually brings back footage of what it's like down there. They're being treated well. They're eating well. They're getting clothing. They're getting their kids together with the parents.
Medical
so
care.
So what's wrong with that?
You're absolutely right. And let's look at that though. Okay, we're going to jump to that. We haven't talked about that in a long time. The reason that they have those holding places is because these are people coming into the country illegally. Mm. They're basically coming over the border into our country against the law. Therefore, we have to stop them. And what do you do with them once they're here? You have to hang on to them before you can find out. Maybe they have a legitimate right to be here and they can ask for asylum. But you can't just release them.
And even with all of that, though, they're not being mistreated.
No, they're not.
They're being treated with respect, and they're being treated fairly. And most of them get their families together, even if they do get sent back to wherever they're from.
Right. I have a problem with a recent policy of our governor here in this state, as well as there's been a number of other states that have done it already, allowing illegal, and let me just express that word, illegal, not legal, citizenry to obtain a driver's license. Mm-hmm. Members of my family have been injured and have cost them a great deals of thousands of dollars being hit by illegal immigrants who did not have insurance. Why don't we make sure that they have insurance? If you want to save the people of this country, individual states, including and especially this state, let's track and find out and make sure everybody has insurance before they drive.
Right, and I think one of the stated reasons is that if we give you a driver's license, then you can get insurance. You'll come out of the shadows. The real thing, and I'm going to ask Jim, I think the real thing is once you get people's names on government rolls, especially like a driver's license where we have motor voter, before you know it, they're going to be able to vote. There's people across the country pushing to have illegals vote in local communities because they're part of the community, so they should have a say. What say you?
Well, that's absolutely true, and I know that that has been going on for quite some time. I don't know for a fact. I suspect it, and I bet you 10 to 1, I'll put odds on, that that's happening, and it's more flagrant than people admit to. As far as the insurance, I already got a notification from my insurance company. Your insurance rates are going up. Why is that? Because here in this great state of New Jersey, we have that pool for uninsured drivers. So they know once they give the licenses to the illegals, they are that pool, someone's going to have to pay for the insurance, and that's going to be paid by me.
Jim, like thank you for that. Else. Thank you for that.
And they're going to be first on the list to dig from that pool.
Exactly. Now, getting back to the internment camp, did anybody hear the Project Veritas expose?
Yes.
It got no media attention, none whatsoever. That Bernie campaign manager or something of that nature, what was he invoking? One, we're going to set Milwaukee ablaze. Sounds like an Antifa type of person. And number two, he was supporting internment camps for people who think like me. Can you believe that? Because they need to be...
He said Stalin had the right idea. He just didn't do it right. You know, an internment camp to re-educate someone when they think crazy like you do, believing in the Constitution and the Second Amendment and keeping the babies alive. When you believe crazy stuff like that, you should be interred somewhere so that we can straighten you out so you think the right way.
We're going to re-educate you.
Sounds
what does
like
that
China.
Sound like?
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
It sounds like a lot of these tyrannical governments, and this is where we see, this is our friends on the left, like we say all the time, they have some good ideas, but sometimes they're going too far to the left. They're socialist now, and socialism means it's control of the economy. It's control of the people. It's control of everything. Control of you and me. Jack, last word.
Look at some of the states that are very, very liberal and have a lot of socialist style programs already in place. Check it out. Look at the mass exodus from California, one of our most, if not our most liberal state. Mm-hmm. Look at the mass exodus of businesses from New York, from the state,
Jersey.
And from the city, and from New Jersey also. Mm-hmm. You're right, Jim. Where these programs are going into place, where we have to pick up the tab for others.
Right. Well, on that note, I'm glad the fellas are back here. I'm going to keep them through and keep them hanging on here. We'll be back in a minute with round two of Chasing Justice.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to round two, a ding, 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 here on Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and I got the guys from the neighborhood are here. Now, a couple things I want to talk to you about real quick. You know, first of all, I'm out there on Twitter. We're all over the place. We're trying to connect with everybody. So if you want to connect with me, you want to talk to the fellas, you can get us on at Pangaro Global. Right, so go follow us. We'll follow you back, and we can have conversations there. It's at Pangaro Global, and you can hear all about Chasing Justice stuff and where we go. Second thing I want to say is all of our shows for the last 2 years are all in the podcast. You know, Apple Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it. Go to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and look at all of the different podcast providers, and Chasing Justice is on all of those. Our show runs every day here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they also run us sometimes on the weekends. You know, you can see it all the time, but it's always on podcast. So go and listen to some of them shows. We were just talking about some of the game show we did. It was hysterical. We had a lot of fun. We're going to do that again. But there's a lot of great material here and a lot of great guests we've had on over the course of the last couple years. Go listen to those podcasts. Listen to the other shows on AmericaOutLoud.com. They are really, really interesting. Now, I've had the pleasure and the privilege for the past month to guest host for the great Malcolm Out Loud, the guru of America Out Loud, on his show Sunday Viewpoint This Sunday, which runs Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and then again at 6 p.m. And I was the guest host. What tremendous people I was privileged to have on that show and talk to. And all of those shows are in podcasts. So don't miss them. Go back there and listen to these things. You know, you can have hours and hours and hours of great radio. You don't have to put up with the nonsense that's out there. So gentlemen, welcome back.
Joe, how are you?
Very good. We're all good here. Now, we're gonna move forward here a little bit. We got through that whole nonsense with the New York Times. Let's talk about the impeachment update. There's a lot going on with the impeachment. There's a lot of things to pull out of here. We know I have called this on multiple occasions. I've called this an illegitimate impeachment. Not because the Congress doesn't have the right or the authority to impeach a president. They do. The Congress is the only group that can impeach a president. They do an investigation and they can declare, they can vote for impeachment, which this Congress has done. They've decided to impeach the president on two counts, abusing power and obstructing the Congress by not answering their subpoenas. Neither one of those things are actually crimes or misdemeanors. They're really not. They are policy differences, and they are one side stomping their feet and holding their breath saying, you won't do what we want you to do, and we're going to impeach you on that. A lot of nonsense goes on there. So, Jack, I see you're brimming here. You're bubbling over. So just get it out. Go, vent it.
Well, listen, from a personal point of view, I like to observe what these people are actually doing when they don't believe that the camera is directly on them. I look at Nancy Pelosi when the articles of impeachment were handed down by her in front of the entire Congress. She looks knowingly, smiles as if a child who just got away with something, and gives individuals the nod and the blink and the smile very snidely, acknowledging the fact that she finally got her way with the rest of the children. Also, I don't understand where the public outrage is. I'm certainly outraged. The fellas here are outraged with me. One of the congressmen from New York was on television last week and stated that if the Senate did not vote for the impeachment, that they were guilty of a conspiracy. Now, this is slanderous, and this is prejudging. This is guilt before innocence. This is basically threatening the Senate that if you don't see things my way, then we're going to do something to you.
Right, and what they're trying to do there, Jack, is our friends on the left, they know where this is going to go. They're not going. No one's going to vote to remove the president. The Senate has the complete right to run the trial. That's what their job is to do. Their job is run that trial, and then they vote whether they're going to find him guilty and remove him, or they can acquit him, and he gets to stay in his position. The Democrats know there's enough Republicans that are not going to vote for removal of the president. So therefore, they're trying to dirty him up and damage him as best as they can, and all of these senators to make it look like, hey, you know what? They're all in on the conspiracy. Trump got them all going the same way, so they're not going to tell you the truth.
Isn't it funny that this all finally comes up like they promised during the election, that it finally comes up during the last election year?
Yeah, well, they've been saying
they saved the best for last.
Since he was elected, they're going to impeach him. They're going to find a reason. So they just keep hunting around. And finally, I think the socialist base was putting so much pressure on Nancy Pelosi because she didn't really want to do this. She knows what trouble this is without real crimes to do this. But she had so much pressure from her base that, you want to do it? We're going to do it. So go ahead. And they threw it out there.
You know what this reminds me of, and what we're going to see on national TV is a replay of when we were in high school, and in our civics class, we chose sides and we had a mock trial. When everybody thought that they knew what the outcome was going to be, this guy was super intelligent, this guy was super intelligent, yet they still can't come to an agreement, and to make everything fair, it just gets wiped out. It reminds me of the high school trial.
Well, it is because...
It's a mock trial.
Bill, though. You're exactly right. You've looked at it, I think, in the correct way, because this is not genuine. This is illegitimate. This is a political weapon.
I agree. They
have taken something so important, and Jack, that's why it's outraging you to see her laughing and joking. This is the most serious thing you can do to a president. This affects our entire government, and they're just using it as a tool. They have the power to do it, so they're going to do it.
There was a joke in the papers and on the news that really wasn't funny, but it was the fact that it took so long to bring the articles of impeachment to the Senate because Nancy Pelosi didn't have her pens done yet. She's handing out souvenir pens of the signing of the article of impeachment like it's some kind of a party favor. This is the United States of America being torn down by these leftist liberals who think it's party time to dismiss and or ruin a human being and a president.
Right.
And in to be fair, President Trump, I got a tweet that he had put out. He's doing the same thing. He's sending out, vote for me, here's a pen.
Here's a pen. All right, so Jim, let's think about this real seriously a minute. And I really wanted to ask you this question as I was coming up with what I want to talk about today. When we look at this, if Trump had actually done crimes, if he did something totally corrupt, he actually did something to enhance the financial capability of Trump Industries, or if he did do something underhanded, if he did collude with one of these governments to cheat in the election, would you still support him, or would you then look at impeachment as that's the proper remedy?
No, I couldn't support him if that was the case. But we know what this is. This is an agenda-driven manipulation by the socialist arm of the Democratic Party in order to destroy Trump. It's very, very dangerous for the sole purposes. It's not the way the government's supposed to work. They armed the IRS. They've armed in the past. They've armed the OSHA in order to get back on the American people who did not think the way they want the people to think. And that's what they're doing to Trump. They want him out. And in reality, they're covering up, mark my words, their own crimes. Because what happened in Ukraine, it is Biden is connected, Pelosi's connected, Kerry's connected. These people stole from the American people. All you have to do is talk to Rudy Giuliani. He came out with the list. He has the proof.
Right. Now, isn't that where we've said a couple of times, how do you go to Congress making $175,000 a year? After 10 years, you should have $1.75 million. But after 10 years, you have $114 million. Where did that money come from? And we know this is both sides. This is not just the Democrats. Both sides of politicians feed their families into these jobs because, hey, I'm the senator, I'm the congressman. I can't directly take money from hopscotch country. But my son, my daughter-in-law, my brother-in-law, they all work there and make millions of dollars. And that feeds into the family. And now the family gets better off. They both sides do it. It is such corruption. But this has been a big Band-Aid. Trump is a big Band-Aid that has now ripped this thing open.
Exactly.
And that's one of the reasons they want him out.
And that's
what
a lot of Republicans who are anti-Trumpers. Because you're right, Joe. This is not a Democratic thing. It's government that has gotten corrupted and we're becoming a banana republic.
Right.
And if we don't fix it, and there's only one person standing in the way that I see, and that's whether you like him or not, that's President Donald Trump.
Absolutely. Now, we haven't talked about this guy in a while, but how about, are we ever going to get justice from Bob Barr? What that investigation's now taken center, go backstage, because we have all this impeachment going on. But in the meantime, he's out there investigating, and sometimes I'm very hopeful. And then other times I say, you know what, they're going to pick off a couple low-level people and they're going to say, you know, but we can't go after, you know, Clapper, and there's nothing there to prosecute. We know they did it. They're unindicted co-conspirators, but we can't get them. And then there's the other side that says, oh no, these guys are going to go in and do the right thing and they're going to frog march them all out. The other day I heard a story that said James Comey is actually under criminal investigation now for his leaks. You know, he admitted that he leaked. I leaked to the newspaper guy because I wanted to get a special prosecutor. You're the head of the FBI. You're not allowed to leak. And he admitted he leaked. Why is he not indicted and arrested? You'd be indicted if you did that, Jim.
It's more than just a crime. It's treason. These people have committed treason. Mm-hmm. And they're getting away with it. I mean, the Pfizer abuse has been proven in the latest report, which was really filtered away in order to protect the government. But they put someone to fix the Pfizer abuse who was known to be a part of the problem at one time in the past. Yes. I mean, this is the government protecting themselves.
Right.
It has to be fixed.
So let me ask you this, Billy. Based on what we're looking at, what you know about the impeachment, and let's not even talk about the House and how they did that investigation, was that was one-sided. Mm-hmm. They, what was his name? The Schiffmeister, him and his group, they controlled the witnesses that came in. He cut off witnesses. You don't have to answer that. He had this whistleblower that was going to come out and blow everything apart. Now we proved that he kind of probably, well, we didn't prove it. The allegations there that he colluded with this guy and he lied about it to bring this up. Kind of a lot like what they did with Kavanaugh. And next thing you know, something else is going to pop up. And that was this Russian guy the other day that they popped up. Oh, he's got the goods on Trump now. Turns out this guy's under indictment for lying. He's worth it. The president of Ukraine says, I wouldn't believe a word that comes out of that guy's mouth. And that's going to be their next big guy because they're using the media to now make this sensational, to make it look worse. So that's why I say this. If it's not legitimate and we're moving forward, should there be a trial? An actual trial in the Senate, or should there be a complete dismissal? Because we all can see, whether we're honest or not, we can see that this is a farce. This is not a real situation.
I honestly believe that Donald Trump would like to have the trial. Unfortunately, I believe the Democrats would turn it into a media circus and use their position to change the minds of the general public. My hopes, my wishes are for a dismissal on the grounds that there is no proof of any wrongdoing.
There's not. And I think the lawyer team, you know, that the president has put together is a pretty powerful group of individuals. Now, Alan Dershowitz, I've always respected him as an attorney because he is a brilliant attorney. I never liked the left-wing cases that he chose to take. But I have to tell you, of all the people I have seen in Washington, this guy comes out and says, I am not for Trump. I didn't vote for him. I don't think he's the greatest president in the world. But what I'm seeing is a travesty of justice. What I'm seeing is the violation of the Constitution, what they're doing to this man, and that's not right, and I have to stand up for that. I mean, you talk about decency. I have nothing but great respect for this guy that he's willing to do that.
He's been made an outcast in his social circles because he hobnobs with all the lefty loonies, yes, especially up there in Massachusetts. And he's been made an outcast. They don't invite him to parties. He's still doing the right thing.
He said somebody in his family called him up. I watched him on an interview. Somebody in his family called him up and said, could you change your last name, please? You're standing up for this guy. Now, again, for this guy, what exactly has he done? You know, at the very worst, let's say what they said, he got onto the phone to the Ukraine and somehow in between the actual words that he said was, hey, you know, could you do us a favor, America, and look into this mess with the Bidens and let me know. Talk to my attorney general if there's any crime going on. That's what the president's supposed to do. Maybe between those words, we just couldn't hear because we don't have our special Democrat radar on to hear him go, get my opponent, Joe Biden, please, you better do it. Or like Mr. Schiff said with that nonsense thing he made up. listen to me 17 times. You get my opponent. You get. How come that guy is not held to account for coming up with a thing like that in Congress? Makes it all an absolute joke. Mm-hmm. So where do you stand, Jim? Dismissal or trial?
I'm with Jack on this. I want this to go away. I'm tired of it. So I'm okay with dismissal. But part of me wants the trial because I want to see the crooks, the real crooks, in jail. And that is the Bidens and all their cohorts that involved with the Ukraine, with the money being our taxpayer money being laundered through Latvia. I mean, it's a joke. That's our money that they brought back into their own coffers. And it's a shame. It's thievery.
Okay. Billy?
I'd like to see a dismissal also. Not just because a trial is just going to be, like Jack had said, a media circus. And I don't want to see that. That's just going to destroy the credibility of our country, I believe. But a dismissal is going to say, there's been no crime. There's been no nothing. There can't be a trial if there's no crime.
And you know what the media's going to say then?
Of course.
Without the trial, the media's going to say that because the Senate is majority Republican, that it was a sham.
A conspiracy.
Exactly.
That's exactly what they're going to say. But so look at the House. Not only was it every Democrat voted, well, not every Democrat. Every Democrat but two voted to continue the rules. Two of them said, no, we shouldn't do this. All the Republicans voted no. So basically, you had a bipartisanship in this. It was bipartisanship against, and they did it anyway. My concern, I thought a trial would be great because of the same thing. You know, they would pull these people out and make them under oath testify. But I think because as we've said here, both sides are guilty of what Biden's doing. He's just the one on the hot seat right now because he's running for president. I think there would be a lot of nervous people on both sides of that aisle that wouldn't want that to come up. And that might be, at the last minute, they pull some nonsense like Kavanaugh. And guess what? I gave him $200 billion in unmarked money, and I gave him diamonds, and I gave him this and that. Oh, and now that gives these people an opportunity to go, well, we didn't know that. Now that we know that, maybe we do have to, you know, let's remove him and let's go with Mike Pence. Right? I don't trust him as far as I can throw them. I think they're all dangerous. The fact that they have turned this impeachment into a weapon leads us down the road. What happens next time when the Republicans have the House and we have a Democrat president? Because we will. It goes back and forth. At some point, there will be a Democrat president. And the Republicans, should they just start like day number one? We got to impeach this guy. We got to impeach him. And of course, the press would go right along with it, right? Because we would say, well, he committed crimes. We don't know what they are, but we're going to find them. We know that he had a business. We know that he took an airplane ride one time in first class, and he shouldn't have been in first class. Let's go get him for that. We know that's going to happen. Bill, you said it before. It's going to make us less in the world. As the last comment here, has this damaged our position in the world, what our own government is doing to itself?
This whole thing, like we've been saying, is a sham. That alone denigrates our credibility throughout the whole the world. But on the positive side, look at all the good and positive things that Trump has done in light of all of this. Here's a guy that's in a battle. He's fighting for our country in so many different arenas, and he's got to prove himself again and again and again. And you know what? He's out there every single day talking to the local people. He's in Milwaukee. He's in Chicago. He's in Indiana. He's in every country talking to the people that are really going to make the difference in this next election, and that's the American voter.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. We're going to hold yous over again. There's a couple more points on this impeachment I want to cover when we come back. And then we have some other things to talk about. We talk about our Hawaiian officers who were killed recently and why that happened. And is that part of a bigger problem in our country with the ambush of our law enforcement? But we'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills.
The Good Taster gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company Healthy Cell will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Chasing Justice Round 3. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangar, with the guys in the neighborhood. We have Jim Giordano, Bill Dallas, Jack Patterson. You know, these guys are excellent to come out here and spend time with us, and I'm glad that you're out there. Thank you so much for listening to Chasing Justice. We really, really do appreciate it. And go listen to the podcast, listen to the show every week. Tell your friends about us, right? We're a lot of fun here. We're trying to be reasonable about things. Well, most of us anyway, Lieutenant Joe. And then everyone else has their opinion. So I'm like a ringmaster here with some like cats and snakes and all this stuff going on. It's crazy. Gentlemen, the last point I want to talk about on the impeachment situation is that recently a very powerful Democrat came forward, Mr. Steny Hoyer. He came out and he said there should absolutely be a trial in the Senate. We should call witnesses. We should do all of this because President Trump will be allowed to prove his innocence. Is that how our system works now? Have we flipped this up? I thought you were innocent until you were proven guilty. You know, you don't walk into the courtroom because somebody said you did something and go, okay, Mr. Guilty, prove you didn't do it. That's not our system of justice. That is tyrannical government system of justice. When they say, hey, I hear you guys had a rally the other day because you don't like our policies. Well, guess what? You're all guilty going to jail unless you can prove you didn't do it. Unless you can prove that you're not against the government, right? Is that our system, Jim?
That's specifically the reason why the Founding Fathers put you're innocent until proven guilty in our Constitution. For that reason and that reason alone. Because it gives government too much power.
Thank you very much. And I think you're absolutely right. That is a frightening thing to hear from a politician. That you got to go into that courtroom and prove you're innocent. That is flipping our system on its head.
Guilty until proven innocent is a terrible thing, and it goes to show the level of denigration being caused to this country right now, and the way we must look to other countries throughout the world, some of them who actually look up to us, is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know what? You're under arrest, we're going to have a fair trial, and then we're going to shoot you. Yes, okay? As long as you get your trial, everything is really good. Okay? You can't call any witnesses. You can't contradict anything we say, but you will get a very, very fair trial, okay? Is that where we're at? Bill, is this America? Is this our America?
This is like some of the communist states or someplace that has no democracy, don't know what the meaning of the word democracy, even though this country, we're a republic. I don't know, Joe. It's such an offhanded thought that we could actually be in a socialist state at some point. It just blows my mind.
It really does. How do we get here in such a very short period of time? Now, it's been building for years, but it's always been under quiet. It's been in the background. But now there are people are coming right out and saying, no, socialism is the way to go. Young people are saying it'd be a better way to go. Newspapers are saying, oh, socialists would be better to have as presidents. It's concerning, and it's something that as all good Americans, whether you're on the right or the left, you better open your ears and your eyes and see what they're doing besides just, let's give everyone health care. Let's let all the poor people in the world that need to come here. They should come here. It's better here than where they are. Of course, that's wonderful. We get that. We have big hearts. But that's not how life really works. It doesn't work if we do that. We have to have regulation about who we bring into the country. We have to pay attention that our rights. It's better that a guilty person go free than one innocent man be put in prison. Isn't that a basic understanding of American principles? And we all get frustrated when we see someone who's guilty and they get away with it because their lawyer was good or the evidence was bad or there was a mistake made in the investigation. That is frustrating. It's very, very difficult for the victim's family, for everybody. But better than that, than Jim Giordano being dragged down because three people lie and the government did something illegal, put him in prison. Because he is all of us. All right? That is every one of us in America. That's why this is so damaging. And to my friends on the left that are listening, and I know you're listening out there, where you think this fits your idea of what you want to happen, you're very excited that this is happening, this is damaging to you because it's going to come back. Because when they're done with us, they're going to turn around and come after you because you're not far enough to the left. You're not crazy enough. You're not liberal enough. They're going to come after you. And when they have the control of that, then they can drag you away and say, you know what? You don't really follow the party line. And to think that that doesn't happen, go look around the world. That's exactly what happens. So when I see Trump's lawyers saying that this impeachment is a violation of his rights because there are no crimes or misdemeanors, I have to agree with that. And Jim, you and I said it before. If he did those things, he actually committed crimes, I would say he'd have to go. Whether he's the president I like or not, you don't get to commit crimes as the president. You've got to be held accountable. And in this case, he did not do it. They're making it up. That's the danger of this. They're making it up and using it as a weapon. All right, so the last thing we have here with this is Mitch McConnell came out. He's the head of the Senate, and he's making the rules. And he came out with the rule, and he says, we are going to have a kill switch. We're going to let both sides come out and make their case. Now, for those who don't know, in any kind of a prosecution, and this is technically a prosecution, it's a trial, the government, the prosecutor always goes first and presents their case. This is what we're charging Bill Dallas with, and this is why we think he did it, and here's our evidence. And they lay out their case. And then Bill Dallas gets to defend himself. Now, in a criminal case, the prosecution lays out its case, and if it's very weak, the very first thing that the defense does is they make a motion to dismiss. Your Honor, we see nothing here that meets the criteria of a crime. We want to dismiss. Sometimes the case is dismissed because there's not enough. So in this particular case, what Mitch McConnell has come up with is he created a kill switch. Both sides are going to initially present their case. The Democrats will present their investigation, and then Trump's team will present his defense. And at that point, he's allowing the Trump team to then call for an immediate vote on dismissal based on what the two sides presented. This is why they want to have more witnesses, because the case that they did in the House is nothing. It's hearsay. Their witnesses were people coming in giving their opinion that they don't like Trump and he did wrong. Not one fact witness was brought up except for the diplomat who said, well, Trump told me he didn't want anything in return for this. It's the only fact witness. And we've totally ignored him. We've gone with the innuendo and the rumor. And that's why we're where we're at today. Jack?
I think the worst part of the whole thing is the damage to the president in the media. He's already damaged by this. He's already been torn down by this. People won't stop. They won't look at the facts. I wish more people would examine the facts. It's nice when you see somebody on television, especially our friends on Fox News, when you have somebody who speaks the facts. Me personally, I got a tax break. That's a lot more than I can say for any other president that's been in power in recent years. You know, many, many things have happened in a good way, and I've said it over and over again here on this program. You know, he's done well by the American people. Every day he's been beaten down. Imagine your neighbors, your co-workers beating you down every day, saying terrible things about you, accusing you of terrible things. After a while, wouldn't you just give up? But instead, our president has led us through talks with China, something that hasn't really gone down in a positive way since President Nixon was around. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that he did positive, let's admit it. But he not only put us into talks, but he's evened up our trade war. Instead of us
bleeding out. He just re-upped the NAFTA, the Canada and Mexico, the USMC. He got that through.
Instead of us bleeding out to China, to Mexico, to Canada, to all various countries around the world, he's stiffened it up. He's brought about a way and a path for us to even up the odds so we don't continue to bleed out. And the Democrats put him down for hurting the farmers. And now that he's turned this Chinese deal into something that's going to be unbelievable for farmers of America in the future, the near future, and today, and we don't see anybody standing up for the positive things that he's done, only the damage that's been caused by this impeachment hearing and trials and the trials that he's been put through in the media.
Right. So that actually turns the focus of our discussion a little bit here for a couple of minutes. You know, we see the impeachment is nonsense. We're going to deal with that however it's going to be dealt with. But you brought it up. He had the trade deals are going to change things. If you have kids and they're getting out of college, just a few short 5 years ago, there was no job for them to go to. They had $100,000 in debt and they could be a basket weaver, or maybe they could work in one of these box stores sweeping the floor. That was going to be their career. Now, we have the lowest unemployment since the 1960s. There are a million more jobs than there are Americans to take them. This is a great thing for our economy. Housing starts are up, the highest they've been in 30 years. You know, my son is in construction. He says, Dad, there's so much work now, we don't have enough people. Right? So they're running around trying to get more people to work. So if your kid is out there, you have work. What about you? If you were out of work, you probably have a job now. Why is that not something we sing and talk about? Instead, we're talking about some nonsense phone call that the guy was entitled to do? You're absolutely right. It's an amazing twist of fate as we go. What else has he done great? What other good things has this president done? How about military? What about our military? Are they a little stronger?
He's
we just have a ridiculous drone strike in the middle of nowhere?
Took out one of the biggest terrorists that we've ever even found out about. I mean, this guy was in the process of creating more hate and discontent. And then Trump just takes him out. And he gets all the bad press for it, too. You talk about those trade deals. He took back a lot, and he gave some. But what's great about the way he did this, he made it fair for everybody. He didn't demand to have this or that. He said, this is the way it should be.
And you're absolutely right. And it should be. And it should be, when you trade with anybody, it has to be a give and take. So you're absolutely right. All right, I want to turn our attention here a little bit. We had a tragedy in law enforcement very recently. Two officers, male and a female officers in Hawaii, were ambushed and murdered while they were answering a call. And I'm going to remember my brother and sister's names because they're the names that we should remember. And it's Tiffany Enriquez was one of the officers killed. And I'm going to try and pronounce the young man's name correctly. Kawaliki Kalana, both in Diamond Head in Hawaii. There was a man who was being evicted, as I understand the story, from his house. He was upset by that. He stabbed the property owner. The police were called. As the officers showed up, this man stepped out and executed both officers as they approached the house and killed them. The man then set fire to his own house, which burned down seven other homes. This is not something that's uncommon anymore. Our officers are killed every day in ambush. Now, in law enforcement, we always know when you take that oath, you put on the gun and the badge and you go out in the street, there's a chance you could die. That's part of the job. We understand that. It becomes second nature. You try and look out for that. You try and be safe. You try and be careful. Do what you can. But it was understood. If you went to a robbery, that's where there might be a gunfight. You see the bad guy, they see you, there's a gunfight. Sometimes you lose, right? You could go to a call where you know there's a guy with a gun. You show up prepared with a guy with a gun. These ambush killings, which are now happening over and over and over again, an officer sitting in the car, right? An officer stepping out of their vehicle. In headquarters recently, in a police department, there was an officer sitting in the back, sitting in headquarters, getting ready to start his shift, and a guy just walks up and shoots through the window and kills him. My question for all of us here is that, is this attack on our police, is this part of a bigger problem in America? You know, is this where the anti-police feeling that's out there is causing this problem? We see lots of states now doing this bail reform, but they're not just letting out shoplifters and nonviolent people who maybe couldn't make bail and they ended up sitting in jail for months where most of us would not. That's unfair. I get that. But violent criminals, they're letting go, doing burglaries, robberies, all kinds of things. Is this part of a bigger problem in our country, Jack?
I think it comes down to a system of punishment, a system of education, and a system of respect, all of which are lacking. I was taught respect. I'm a gun person myself, to put it mildly. I was taught in such a way by my father, by my uncles, I couldn't take a pistol or a shotgun, a rifle, anything. Unloaded, no way to fire the gun whatsoever, I still could not point that gun at another human being. I was taught to respect police. I was taught that without the police, we have anarchy. I know there's a lot of agencies out there that are looking for anarchy, such as Antifa. You know, these things, respect, education, we're lacking in all these areas.
When I was a kid, we had, in our neighborhood, we had a beat cop. And that beat cop would walk around, and it just old time. Now, I'm 72, so I'm going back, you know, maybe 65 years. And you can always tell him when he was in the neighborhood.
Were the cops on horseback then?
And you could hear, he knew when he was in the area because he'd be tapping his nightstick on the sidewalk. You could hear him. Kids would come out to talk to him. He was like the hero in the neighborhood. Today, beat cops are non-existent. They're like a target anymore. And the kids in the neighborhoods don't look up to them. Their parents taught them, either from the because of the environment that they live in or because their parents have an attitude towards cops, they pass that on to their kids. So there's no respect for law enforcement, first responders. I used to live in Maryland, and I went to a fire with some friends of mine who were firefighters. They let me ride along with them. We were just doing a report on them. And they went, and the fire, there were people there that were shooting at the firefighters to keep them from doing their job. And what happened? They were prepared. The firefighters were packing. They shot back. I was so blown away by that.
But Bill, your bigger point is right. When we used to have respect, now lots of people see the police as the enemy. You know, how dare you enforce the law? I don't think that should be a law. I don't think I should be arrested for that. And they fight back. And now we have these local governments, municipal, state governments. When you have a sanctuary city that says, we're going to disregard all the law we don't like, we're not going to enforce law we don't like, and we're not going to let you enforce it either. That kind of a message gets out there. When you hear them constantly pounding that the police are wrong and they're racist and they hate you and this and that, this is where people have no compunction now to not ambush law enforcement.
And now they even have sanctuary counties. I mean, what the whole state's going to be sanctuary state.
And that's what's happening. People are deciding we're going to enforce this law and not enforce that law, and we can't do that. Either the rule of law or not.
The problem is that people have lost respect for the way law is administered. It's much less fair than when Bill was 72 years ago, when Bill was used to hang out with the police.
Teenager.
And unfortunately, the cops are stuck in the middle.
Yes.
And it's just a terrible thing that we need to rectify. We need to start with electing the right people to office.
Okay, fellas, I think you're absolutely right. Everybody here, thank you all for your opinions. You know, there's something going on right now in the nation. We see in Virginia, they were having this Second Amendment rally. Now, this rally is going to be a bellwether for our Second Amendment rights, just like our First Amendment rights are under fire. So pay attention closely to what's going on in all these different states as they try and confiscate your guns, take them all away. It's attacking your freedom at every level. It's not justice. If justice is denied for one person, whether that be President Trump because they don't like him and they violate his rights, or whether they violate your rights and take your gun rights away from you because they don't like guns or some other nonsense, justice denied for one is not justice for anybody. So, hey, thanks for being here this week on Chasing Justice. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. We'll be back again. I'm going to drag them back in here because I love having the fellas here. Until then, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.